Kind of made a last minute change in plans as far as what to do for our service today. Not sure who would be here. Of course, as time went on, the roads improved and it wasn't too much of a problem for any of us, but determined somewhere along the line this morning to do a sermon and song, something that we can all just join in with. And I'm hoping we'll find that to be good and helpful for us today and in our studies together. You know, when God created man, he made us in his own image. In the Genesis account, it says of that creation that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing creeping on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Man indeed was created in the image of God, though it's hard for us to just get a real good picture in our mind of what God looks like, because that's not been revealed. But what we also know is that God is spirit. And so man is created in God's image, even in spirit in that way. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, is what the Apostle John says in John chapter 4. In time, man marred the image that God had designed because sin came along. The human race fell into sin, and that sin led to death. And that has affected all men. You might take your Bibles and go with me to several passages that we look at today. Going to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And as we're being reminded here of what happened with regard to sin and how that has affected man of all time. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." It's a horrible reminder of just the plight that we have, that as we fall short of God's will, that it is sin. That is what it is, and before his eyes. And it's a rather bleak prognosis for man, the creation of God, that is, sin is. But the great plan of God was to recreate man. This creation of God, not in a physical sense to recreate man, but in a spiritual one to make us new. This spiritual recreation comes through his Son, Jesus. Looking 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." God's goal is to take sinful men and make them into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because remember, in the beginning, we were made in such a way that we were made in the image of God, with characteristics that would be what he would want us to be. Sin got in the way. But to save us from sin, his Son is offered. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we're reminded once again of what God has done so that we could be once again in his image. God always knew, God's plan from the beginning of time was that there would be those who would be obedient to him, those who would follow him, those who would be conformed to him. As the apostle writes in Romans 8, verse 29, speaking of what God foreknew, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, it's amazing to think about, that is. It's amazing to think about being made in God's image and conforming to the image of Christ. There are a number of qualities that God the Father and God the Son possess that we need to possess too. And we can. We can grow closer to God and we can become more like him because God in his Holy Spirit has revealed for us through his word what we must do to be conformed in the image of his son. We just have to read his word. We have to believe that and accept that. And so the purpose then of this sermon is for us to think about some qualities or characteristics of God and see what applications we can make even in our lives. The points are simple. Such things as God is holy. And since God is holy, we as well want to be holy because we want to be like him. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 6 that is very interesting to me. It paints an incredible picture of the power of God, the majesty of God. It helps us get a view of the holiness of God. It's hard to imagine being in the shoes, so to speak, of Isaiah. As we read here in Isaiah chapter 6, where he has this vision of the throne scene of God. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." It's too much, really, to envision and to imagine what Isaiah was seeing. But we can get the point now, can't we, that God is holy and that everything about him, everything around him, exudes holiness. That's his characteristic, and it's one that we need to put on as well. Let's take our songbooks, and the songs we're going to sing right now are all out of the hymnal. And let's turn to number one. Number one, Holy, Holy, Holy. We will sing verse 1 and 2.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty,
an amazing picture to think about, the holiness of God, the purity of God, and that's a characteristic that we need to have, that we need to take on. Number 48.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They him their king and strange divine. I heard where thou song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffer sword or flame, for truth or Jesus' lovely name, shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I am, and bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roam, eternal love shall feast their soul, and sings of bliss forever new, rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adorned, who like me thy praise should sing, O Almighty King, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored, holy, holy, holy.
God calls his people to be holy as well. It's not just that God is holy, but that if we are to be his people, we have to be a holy people because he is holy. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, if you'd look with me, 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter is trying his very best to help us to see and understand the blessings that come in Christ and the holiness of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, beginning, he tells us, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." It's a powerful statement that was made by God, not just here. Peter is quoting what was penned before in the words of God. Because God has stated that before, he has made that plea to those who would be his people, that he is a holy God, and if we are to be his people, we as well must be holy. In chapter 2 of the same book, verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, evil, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Well, of course, that's what we would do. If we are the spiritual people that God would want us to be, if we are striving to be holy, what else could we offer up but spiritual sacrifices? Verse 9. but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Indeed, there has been such a change in us. Becoming children of God, we have taken on the image of him so much that anyone can see. No longer do we walk in darkness, but we walk in the light that he gives and he offers us. Purity. That's what we're striving for. To make such changes in our life that we are trying to be holy as he is holy. In our songbooks, number 150, Purer in Heart. It's a song that helps to define for us and to remind us that indeed, if we are going to be holy, it has to start with our heart. That we must strive always to have a pure heart if we are to be the people of God. We'll sing verses 1 and 3.
Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet.
Holy, and so we want to be holy. But we can also say of God and his character that God is love. There are a lot of examples we could think of and points we could make with that. But surely with regard of salvation and what he has offered us in that way, we can make points about God's love. We're going to the Psalms, the 108th Psalm, or the 103rd Psalm, where David certainly expresses some beautiful points about the love of God. Psalm 103, we begin at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers us indeed, because he knows who we are. And he remembers even the creation of all things and the creation of mankind. God's love is so great for us that even though we have struggled with sin, he's willing to work with that. He's willing to put that away. He has given for us an offering to take away sin. Even as we're reading that passage, you can't hardly not think about John chapter 3, because there's some sentiments expressed there that are the same, really, as John chapter 3, verse 16. For For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is God's plan for man, that he might save us. It's an amazing thought that God would do so much, that God would think so well of us, even though sin is a problem. It's sin that makes us impure. It's sin that makes us unholy. And remember, God is holy, and he is trying to draw us to him, but we can't when sin is in the way. That's why he sent his Son. His love, his mercy, his grace is so amazing. Let's turn our songbooks to number 186. 186. As we think and as we contemplate the great love of God, his mercy, his grace, the offering of his Son, we sing this song, and as we're thinking about these things, it just seems appropriate that after this song, we would take the Lord's Supper while we're thinking about these things. I stand amazed, verses 1 and 3. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Incredible reminder of God's love when we eat the Lord's Supper and those thoughts flow through our mind again, the offering of the Son. Well, if we are to take on the characteristics of the Lord, well, then there has to be within us a heart that is very much a loving heart. As God is love, so must his people be. In the book of John, and in chapter 13, we find Jesus with his disciples, and he teaches them a very powerful lesson, kind of an object lesson, I suppose you could say. I mean, it's in this chapter that the master becomes the servant. It's where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. In the latter part of that chapter, in verse 34 beginning, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's interesting to me in those two verses, three times, Jesus reminds his disciples that you have to love one another. There seemed to be a purpose in mind. And he knew that he needed to remind us of this often, I suppose, that we need to love one another. That's how others even will know that we are the disciples of Christ. And as we've talked about and as we've recalled the great love of God and the love of Jesus in this great sacrifice, It's not so much then that he would expect or think that we as well should have an attitude and a heart that's a loving heart. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, we begin in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Indeed, it has to be a characteristic that we very willingly take on. In our song books, we're turning to number 219. 219. In the things that God says, because he always means exactly what he says. We're looking James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and beginning at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's look as well at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There should be a great deal of confidence that we know and that we have in the promises of God. Because as we go through the book, as we go through the Bible, we can see the promises of God made over and over. And we can see that every time he promises something, that it's true, that it always happens, that there is faithfulness in what he says. In our song books, let's turn to number 23. Number 23, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning.
mountains they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine, O dear presence, to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Even as God is faithful, we must be faithful. We must be faithful to Him. He has called us to faithfulness, though man has often struggled in that way. In the Revelation letter, we see time and again where the Lord is calling churches to put to the side things that they were doing that was wrong, sin, and reminding them of faithfulness. Revelation chapter 2, beginning of verse 8, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Really, it's a promise that God has made even from the earliest of times, that if we will be faithful to Him, that if we will listen to Him, if we will follow Him, that there is great hope, that we can overcome whatever Satan throws our way, because God will help us in that. In our songbook, number 415, "To Christ Be True," 415. We'll sing the first and the third verses.
To Christ be loyal and be true, His banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till is secured the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, in noble service prove your faith and your fidelity, the fervor of your love. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the the Lord be true.
We can see time and again as we go through the text the characteristics of God and the characteristics that we need to know and the characteristics that we need to take on. And so that's our challenge. And even as we begin a new week, hopefully renewed in spirit and renewed in faith, we know that we have to take on the characteristics of God, that we can be His children, not just in this life, but forevermore. That's our aim, to be like Him. And even as we sing this song, Servant's Song, we're reminded once again of who we are and how we need to fashion our life in such a way to be a servant of God. And so we give this time and this opportunity once again. If there's anyone here today who needs to become a child of God by becoming a baptized believer into Jesus Christ, sins being washed away, or a Christian who has struggled with sin and needs prayers of saints to encourage you to repent of your sin and confess the name of Jesus and confess those sins. If you need to respond, don't delay, but would you come even now as we stand and sing?
Make me a servant, just